In Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas were ordained and sent out of Antioch as missionaries. And I think it was right at the end of their first missionary journey that they returned to Antioch. And I want to read you this verse from Acts 14. It says, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples." And so tonight, Pastor Brian is out of town. And so we are dedicated the whole night to give you an update of what the Lord is doing down in the Dominican Republic with our missionary Lee Carter and his wife, Heather, and their family. And so in just a minute, Brother Ray is going to come up and talk first, and then Dawn, and then me at the end. But I want to at least let you know what we're doing tonight is biblical, that Paul rehearsed with the church what the Lord had done on his missionary journey, and that's what we're doing tonight.
But this hat and greeting people in Spanish were the greatest icebreakers that we had to go through that. So this hat is from the Tigres del Licey, which is one of the winningest baseball teams in the Dominican Republic. So wearing this hat while we're going out and evangelizing, it opened up many opportunities. People smiled. Don and Steve saw it. People were like, "Lucy! Lucy!" And they go, "Yeah!" And then others, not so much. One story about that is when we were leaving the Dominican Republic at passport control, the last lady that we had to do before we came into the United States, she kept on looking at my passport. She saw me wearing a hat. She kept on looking at my passport and just mean mugging me and everything. And then she finally pointed her English wasn't very well. And she's like, she pointed at my hat and she's like, "No." And then I forgot the team that she liked, but this was an icebreaker. So I just wanted to let you know, I'm not wearing it to be disrespectful. I just want to let you know it was an icebreaker, and it was an icebreaker for this. The DR trip was incredible personally and spiritually. I want to start out with one thing. When we were preparing to go, Steve prepared us, and we had several meetings. We did devotion, and Steve set the tone. So I have to give Pastor Steve credit. He set the mindset, what we need to do. And so in 2 Corinthians 5:20, some of you guys know this one. This was our theme. This was our motivation. This is how we had to act. And so in 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." That was our theme. That was our motivation. We were to be ambassadors for Christ. And so that did some preparing for us. And personally, I had to do a lot more preparing than probably others had to. One of them, and some of you guys know me and everything, you know I can be boisterous, I can be opinionated, strong-willed. I had to submit. I had to submit on multiple levels. First, I had to submit to God's authority. God, is this what you want? And the answer is yes. So that was the first step. The second one is I had to submit to Steve's authority because Steve is leading the trip. He's the pastor in charge. I'm here to help serve alongside Pastor Steve. So I had to submit to Steve's authority. I had to submit to Don's authority. He's an elder in the church. The Bible tells us that we need to be respectful of our elders, and I had to submit to Don's wisdom and experience as well. And Don does have some great experiences and wisdom to share, and you get to hear that here in a minute. So I had to submit to that authority. The other part of that is we went with another church. We went with Valley Baptist Church of Grain Valley, and I met 9 new friends. They're brothers and sisters in the Lord. They're incredible people. I'm looking forward to hanging out with them outside of the church here. I'm hoping that we can do more with them, but you know, Grain Valley's 45, 50 minutes away from here. So that's kind of a haul. But you know, Pastor Chris and his wife, Susan, I wanted to talk about Eugene and Julie. Julie was a character. She was fun. Luke and, Jody, and then we had John and Priscilla and Miss Chris. I forget Chris's last name, but she was a single elderly lady. So I had to submit to their authority and their experience. And then, of course, we had to submit to powers and principalities. We had to submit to authority. You know, we weren't in charge. We had to just submit to authority and trust and walk in faith because we're getting on an aluminum tube and we're flying around across the ocean, going to the Caribbean. We had to put trust, not faith in them, but we had to put our trust in the other people to get us through that. We had, again, passport control, checking in. Actually, can I share that story? You want me to share it? All right. So one of the things we didn't know as we were preparing and submitting was we had to have what's called an e-ticket to get into the DR. It's not a visa. Basically, it's just a declaration that you needed to fill out prior to getting your plane ticket. So we get to the airport, 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30. I mean, it's already early. We're tired, but we're pumped. We're excited. And we get to get our ticket, and a guy at the counter was like, "You got to go do this." And I was like, "Can you help us?" But in the website address he told us to go to wasn't working. It was bouncing around. And we just were kind of getting frustrated. So we said, "Hey, let's just go in line." So we get up there, and I forget the lady's name, but she was a beautiful, Rachel. She was beautiful in helping us. She was there. She was patient. Here we are. She said, "Hey, you guys get your phones out. Start doing this." Well, I'm used to texting and doing everything else, so I was able to fly through it a little bit quicker once we figured it out. Steve and Don, not so much experience in the texting world. And so I got mine done, got my ticket, so I was like, okay, Steve got his. He was coming in second place, just going through there, and he got his partially done. And we'll get to that in a second. And then Don was frustrated, and he's like, "I'm not sure." He's like, "Don, let me help you out." So I jumped in there. Don is taken care of. So we finally get our tickets. We get into TSA. We get through a checkout. Don forgot something, so he had to go back to TSA. We're going on the way to gate. We get to our gate, and there's the Valley Baptist Church group. They're already ready to go. They're laughing at us. "We didn't think you guys were going to make it." And he's like, "No, we're going to make it." And they're boarding just as we got there. So we got there just in time, in God's time, actually, and got through it. So we're like, "Yeah, we're going there." We get to Miami, go through all that. Then we get to the DR, and that was interesting all of a sudden. It was not a culture shock, but it was different. So we go through all that, and we get through immigration. And next thing you know, like, they speak very little English. We speak very little to no Spanish. So that's kind of like, thank goodness they had English everywhere with the Spanish. So that helped, but not everything, because we still had to communicate with people. So we get through, and they look at us. We give them our passports. We have to show our phone, our e-ticket. And then they fingerprinted us. So we had to go through all that. Then it's Steve's turn. And to no fault of Steve, he goes through. He doesn't have the barcode. He doesn't have the QR barcode that gets created with this. But he does have it partially filled out. So they pulled Steve into immigration. They pulled him in a little room where Steve had no English, and they just told him, "Fill out," or something like that. And so, meanwhile, Don and I are at the baggage carousel, sitting there. We got our bags, or I got Steve's in my bag, because Don didn't check his. And then we went through, and I'm sitting there going, my goodness, they warned us at the airport, if you don't have that filled out, they can do a couple things. The first one is they can fine you like $3,500 is what they told us when we left Kansas City. That's a big chunk of change. So I was like, Lord, can we get through this? The other one was they can put Steve on the plane back. These are realities. The third option, and this is by the grace of God, is the guy goes, finish filling it out. So Steve's over there struggling. He's remembering going through it. He's getting it done. Here comes the other group of nine. So we kind of split up when we were going through the airport. It was easier for three of us to maneuver versus nine people. And so they come through and we're like, we're waiting on Steve. He's in immigration. And I'm praying this whole time. Next thing you know, here comes Steve walking out. And it's like, he made it through. And so then we met Pastor Lee, and our experience in the DR has begun. So that was interesting. But again, that's walking in faith. Walking in faith, trusting in the Lord, and then, again, submitting to authority. You know, that was probably a big one that I picked up on, is just submitting to authority. You know, I had to be less so something more can happen. So went through all that. You know, it was incredible. We didn't endure hardness in a traditional sense. So I'm thinking mission trip and going to a developing or a third world country. I'm thinking, okay, we're going to be in a concrete building, no AC, no running water. You know, the minute is live. Far from it. Lee Carter, in the way he sets up these missions trip, spoils us. And so we were in a hotel that was about a mile from Valiente, behind an industrial complex. It's kind of where there's the main highway. There's the beach, main highway, our hotel, this industrial complex all behind it. And then about, like I said, a mile and behind it is Valiente. And so we weren't ever far from the mission field, with that. So we, you know, just went through and got on the bus every morning. Every afternoon, and off we went. One of the other things that I was talking to Steve and I a lot, and we were having some good conversations, and it was one thing to come into when we're doing the trip in the DR, and that is actually one thing that I've kind of picked up, and there was an example of this. And so in 2 Timothy 4:2, we're commanded to do some things. Paul is instructing Timothy, you know, the young pastor, to go forward. He says, preach the word. The word was preached. I can tell you this. The word was preached. In Spanish and in English, the word was preached. Be instant in season, out of season. That's the thing I'm talking about. I have to be less so something more can go through there. I got to be ready to go to preach, but I got to pull back at the right time and let others do that. And that was incredible as we were going through it. We had to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. I will tell you, I suffered on the long suffering part at the end of the trip. And I still owe you guys an apology. I caused some headache. I got caught up in the flesh when we were sitting in Miami for 4.5 hours. We had a long layover and I was getting tired and I heard our boarding group called, but I didn't. Don was talking on his phone to Barb. And Steve was over talking to the other group, and I just got up in my flesh and just boarded a plane. They're looking for me, scrambling, and I'm like, where are they at? And again, in my flesh, I got caught up in the, you know, in the last moment. That was, I apologize still. I feel bad because it caused you guys some stress, and we don't need that on a trip like that. But, you know, it was exciting to get home. The one thing I saw, with this being in season and out of season, is how they drive in the DR, which was a culture shock. And I think, you know, Steve's been to India, Don's been to Nicaragua, I know Jeff's been to India. It is different, like that. And, you know, in America, in the United States, we need to quit calling it America. We need to call it the United States because the DR is part of North America, a part of America, not in the United States sense, but geographically. But in the United States, we always worry about our lane. You know, we drive aggressively. You know, if we don't like someone, we'll toot our horn in anger and aggression. We may even give them the one finger salute. You may brake check. That kind of thing doesn't happen in a DR. You know, we're worried about our space. You know, we'll spread out. Hey, this is my lane. Hey, don't you dare come over here. No, that didn't happen. It is a give and take if they're driving. And you have to be on, you have to be ready to go. Just like the Bible tells us to be in season, out of season. And our bus driver, Cesar Ernesto, I'm using both names since I called them both all week. You know, he was doing this in a bus. He was just maneuvering through like it was nothing. And he's looking for those opportunities to be in season, out of season. He expanded, he contracted. And it was a picture of this. Whereas in America, and even in corporate America, and even sometimes in ministry, people kind of get focused and say, hey, just stay in your lane. That doesn't work in the DR. And it didn't work. And so we had to, like I said, we had to expand and contract as we move through things. Don't stay in the lane. Just look for those opportunities. Pastor Brian always talks about it from the pulpit. We got to look for those opportunities to share the gospel. We need to go forth and teach all nations. So we got to look for those opportunities. And like I said, as we're going through traffic, the nice thing is sometimes you had other drivers that are a little bit more not aggressive, but they were more direct. They would come out there and they'd throw blocking for you, kind of like football. You know, hey, you got your lead blocker. So these cars would line up, and I don't know how we had the room to do it. Kind of lined up. Next thing you know, he's starting to go. Ernesto, boom. And you wouldn't think that little bus would go, but it did. And he got us around through that. And I thought we were going to hit the guy on the motorcycle that was carrying his girlfriend or wife and his little baby and the groceries and everything. But we never hit anyone. In America, we'd be like, ah, and we're getting all aggressive. So that was a culture shock, but it was also a good one to refresh and reaffirm my go-to verse, which was 2 Timothy 4:2. The way Lee Carter had everything set up for us was incredible. So we did 2 days of bags of provision, which was food pantry related, like Shepherd's Pantry. But before this, not everyone can just come off the street and join us. They had to get a ticket from Lee and Heather. So they would go out to the community and do that before we even got there. So they're out there saying, hey, we're doing bags of provision. Are you interested? And people would say yes. But Lee has to do this. They had to go through a process. Not to do this, but to make sure people just aren't coming, grabbing, and going. It was a three, four-hour deal. So they come into one half of the church or the mission house, and then they go through, and we would do an icebreaker, just kind of prepare everyone. Hey, share our testimony. We talk about life in the States, share our testimony. It was incredible, and people were listening. So we started the icebreaker. We started the massage of the heart. And then Lee is fortunate. He has an older gentleman that has a heart for missions and serving the Lord. And so Lee's discipling him. And we ended up his name is John. He was originally a missionary and he is still supported. I'm not sure how he's all supported, but he is supported. But he was a missionary to Haiti, but we know Haiti is a hostile country right now. And so he came over and said, hey, I want to partner with Lee, and Lee wants to disciple him. So I started calling him Dominican John. Great guy, servant heart. And so John was the runner. So we were in the mission house where he actually lives full time, in Valiente, and he was escorting people over. And then we had 4 or 5 stations and we were paired up just like, you know, it tells us to go out 2 by 2. We were paired up so, you know, no one can bear false witness. We have a person, accountability person. And I joking with it, but it was tag team ministry. You know, you talk about tag team wrestling. Hey, tag, you're into, again, expanding and contracting. And so Steve and I had a chance to work in one of the groups and we just talked about where they were at. We were working through an interpreter and just meeting the people where they're at. And I will tell you, thank goodness Steve was with me. I know Romans Road, but I was getting so rigid. I was like, and it just wasn't working. And Steve would jump in and our interpreter, Johnny, which is Lee's son-in-law, just was right there to help guide us through that. And they would jump in because I was holding to it. I wasn't listening. Even though I didn't speak everything, I wasn't listening to what was being said by her. And it took 1 or 2 times. Again, thankfully Steve and Johnny were there being tag team partners. And then finally, it's like, wait a minute, I'm making this too hard. And this is just happened like that. And I just kind of take a different approach. Next thing you know, I'm sharing the gospel and I had 2 people personally that I led to the Lord. And it was incredible. One guy, his name was Juan. I think you saw a picture of he was like 90 years old. So he's not too old to hear the gospel and to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. So there, and then the other lady that I was able to, reach and share the gospel with was Louisa. Wasn't sure her age. She was a little bit older as well, but again, both of them, it was incredible to do that. And then once we were done sharing the gospel, and this was, it was heartfelt. It was a good solid. It seemed like 20, 30 minutes per person that we were working with. Once they were doing that and they were going through it, we were filling out paperwork, and the paperwork was for Lee to follow up with. So he was getting their name, their address, and their phone number, and just so he could follow up with them. And then after they left us, you know, they took the paperwork, they submitted it, and then they loaded them up. They got a whole flat of eggs, We got like two or three bags full of stuff. I mean, a big old giant. I think you saw one of the pictures in the video. Luis had a big giant like sausage roll. So they were getting well fed with that. So it was incredible going through and doing that. So we did that for 2 days. We did a medical clinic, similar idea. So Heather, Lee's wife, she's a nurse practitioner. Thank you. She is a nurse practitioner, so she knows how to look at medical issues. They brought in a doctor. I don't know if he was local or not, but a doctor was there for the medical clinic part. And then some of the other team from Valley Baptist had medical training, so they were working over in the AC very well. But that AC didn't hold out. The power went out on us. So they were doing that, and we're just sharing the gospel. We're talking with it and just going through that same process. And so we got to share the gospel. We tagged team many times. It was incredible just kind of helping escort people and getting through all that. The other part, too, and I sat through and looked at, was when we're walking the streets of Valiente and going through and inviting people to the movie night and just inviting them to church service, I never felt threatened. I got looks, you know, being a white guy from the United States, big white guy, wearing a Lissay hat, but it was an icebreaker, and they were receptive. Some people did show up to the movie night, and go through it. We were able to share the gospel there. I shared my testimony. Everyone shared their testimony the whole entire time. So with 12 of us, there was an opportunity with that. Again, very incredible, very powerful. And the last thing I kind of want to go through was Lee took a couple of us. There was four guys, and he shared his vision. So there is a vision for what's going on in Valiente. He's got it divided up into three phases. The first one, and he was driving us through Valiente and through the barrio, with it, and he was showing us some key things. The first one was, he's praying for a new church building that's larger. And there happens to be one right next door to his current church. So he's praying that he can get that building and keep the other ones, I believe, as well. Right there on the corner where he's at in Valiente. So that was the first one. But he doesn't want to do it until it's finished. He doesn't want to take on contractor responsibilities and being a GC, in the Dominican Republic. The other one, and that he's already started to work on, is the next phase, is he's working with local businesses. So there's a lot of small mom and pop shops that service the community. They're not tourist traps. They are for the locals only. And he's identified 10 key people that he's going to bring over. He's going to just talk to them about what he's trying to do in Valiente and how they can grow inside of the community. So he's working community outreach as well. And then the third one, this was where we went on a trek. Valiente was, I would say it was rough and tough. And then we went to the barrio. It was one step above camping. Yeah, it was. Lee had a Ford Explorer, and I don't think that was thing with all of us in it. I think it wasn't still big enough or enough lift, but the roads weren't roads. They were trails with curbs. Let's just call it like that. So nothing made sense. Lots of worn down structures, people just makeshift living. And this is where some of the people that are Haitian, so Haitians are not welcome in the DR openly. They are allowed to apply and get in there, but they are not wanted. So they're less desirable. But there is a Haitian community, but the ones that speak Spanish, so there's Creole and then there's Spanish. And so the ones that can speak Spanish and Creole are more likely to get a job and be able to work inside of the Dominican Republic. The ones that don't, they struggle. So there is some real struggles with that. And so they lived in this community. And as we were going through this, driving around, Lee is bold. Lee is, if you ever been with Lee, and if you worked with Lee, he's been here, he's preached. That's the real deal. He didn't put on a show. This was real. This was genuine. We pull up and there's like 3, 4, 5 guys initially. And Lee started speaking to them in Spanish. And we're like, okay, what's going on? And I just thought it was going to be a casual conversation. Next thing you know, Lee's like, guys, I'm getting out. Throws the car in park. Leaves the car running. And he goes up and starts talking to him. And a couple guys scatter. And then he's like, guys, get out of the car. We're going to be here for a while. So I was like, okay. And so we're, again, there's 4 of us. We don't speak Spanish. Lee is doing all this. We're just there. I guess we're just his backup. I don't know. Pastor Chris from Valley Baptist Church knows a little Spanish, and he was trying, but Lee was like taking this. And so there's these 3 guys left, and there is I would say they're a gang. I don't know that for sure, but they had it had a kind of a gang feel to it. There was the gang leader. That's what I'm going to call him. He professed that he knew Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. So that was, you know, that was good. But then we had another guy. I call him Mouth because he would never shut up. And Lee had to shut him down several times. He's over here. They're going back and forth. And Lee's like, and eventually I think the gang leader told him to shut up and sit down. And he did. He was pretty quiet after that. And we were focusing on this young, it was 16, 17-year-old guy. His name is Johan. And Lee's like, this guy was teetering on the fence. And Lee just, you know, drew a line in the sand, in the dirt, and goes, hey, heaven or hell, how you want to spend eternity? And we were able to understand that. And Mouth jumped up and professed Jesus Christ and came over. But the young man was just hemming and hawing. And you know, we could tell there was real spiritual battle. While this is going on, you know, Lee left his car running, and it's moved up like 10 feet. We're not anywhere near, so if anyone jumps in the car, we're not going to catch them. But that wasn't an issue. There was one thing that was really powerful. Just as Johan was battling over, you know, whether does he want to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, I don't know if you remember seeing the guy, Steve, but there was he was over there just walking it. He looked rough and tough. He was over there cussing and just talking. He was throwing haymakers walking down the street. I can't say he was demon possessed, but there was something not natural with him. So he's over there doing this. Just as Johan's getting ready to profess Christ, this guy's just walking this side street. Just, you know, throwing these haymakers and fighting with everyone. Next thing you know, Johan said yes. So Lee led him to the Lord. He accepted. And that guy disappeared. I don't know what happened. I mean, it was a long straight trail because it wasn't a road. And he was gone. And we looked down the side, didn't see a lick of him. I didn't see him again. So it was pretty powerful to see that. We got a late lunch out of it. We didn't get back to the hotel until late, and it was almost time for us to get ready for evening service. But it was an incredible time. If you're not prepared, get prepared. First step, get your passport. Second step, start saving pennies because it's not cheap to get there. But it's more affordable than going to other places. And the other one is pray it up. Pray. You know, we're talking about prayer tonight. That church needs it. So there's a big opportunity there. Thank you.
Well, you heard from the preacher. Now you're going to get it from the layman. I was on the mission field about 53 years ago. Went to Managua, Nicaragua, and three times, and another trip to Monterey. So, I knew a little bit about what was going on in the mission field. But the Dominican Republic was, you know, a good experience. This wasn't the same, but some of the things I learned are great. Raymond and his ability with a cell phone. Praise the Lord. I'd still be in the Dominican probably if he hadn't helped with my phone and so forth. But I gave my testimony at the baseball clinic or baseball park. Baseball in the Dominican Republic is so popular that they have like 10 or 20 kids that go to this camp. It's like a boarding school. They stay there and all they do is baseball. The reason being, like Raven said, there's a lot of poverty. Some of those kids are in poverty, but they know how to play baseball. And there's some good players in the national leagues. I think Lee said there's like four or five of those kids that have a $100,000 contract with national leagues. Maybe I go to Dominican and learn how to play baseball. But anyway, I gave my testimony there, how the Lord dealt with me. I usually ask people, I said, tell me, how did the Lord bring you to himself? You know, I don't say, give me your testimony, but how did the Lord bring you to himself? Everybody's different. And I love to hear stories about other people coming to the Lord. But while we were there, I did a devotion also for the team. And I want to do a little of that for you. I started out with a missionary. What is a missionary? What's the definition of a missionary? Someone that goes to a foreign field? I don't think so. Years ago, when I went to Managua, I heard a definition somewhere along the line that a missionary is the closest born-again believer to a lost person. The foreign field is great for missions, but we got missions right here. The Lord gave us a co-mission. He's with us. Co, that means he's going to go along with us. But years ago when I was at the Baptist Temple, they had a lot about soul winning and sharing the gospel and, you know, he that winneth souls is wise, Proverbs says. Whether he's wise because he wins them or he has to be wise to win them, you know, but it's both. But, I learned about giving out tracts when I was in business for myself and went into people's homes servicing appliances. I gave out a lot of tracts. When I retired, I kind of had withdrawal because I didn't have my mission field had changed, you know. But I learned years ago when you give out a track, you know, friend with a friendly face, say, let me give you something good to read. I know you may be, you know, a checkout. You may be busy now, but when you get a chance, read this. It'll tell you how you can get from wherever you're at to heaven, you know. And sometimes you wonder how much spiritual sense the person has, but that's, you know, when I learned about soul winning, later on I decided, you know, I don't have the opportunity to spend a lot of time with customers, but I have an opportunity to sow seed. So I'm a seed sower. Lee asked me down there, says, well, what do you think? I said, well, he's told us his word will not come back void, and we gave it out. But Jesus, tell people Jesus loves you, and he wants you to spend eternity with him and his Father in heaven. And if you read this, it'll tell you to get from wherever you're at now to heaven, no matter where you're at. Okay? Eternity is... it's a long time, you know. When I went to the mission field some 53 years ago, I didn't know that I'd be going at my age. And my wife was concerned about me going. And I said, the Lord will take care of me. And he did. When I got back home, I had some troubles. But on the field, no health issues, no problems whatsoever. It was awesome. I almost didn't make it through the airport in Kansas City. I was dragging after 4.5 hour layover in Miami and then airports. Well, I got my exercise. Airports are 3 miles this way and 3 miles that way. But anyway, praise God that he got me through everything I needed and then some. But as far as giving out tracts and witnessing to people, I miss so many divine appointments. God puts people in our path every day. And sometimes I'll think, oh, I should have talked to them. I've gotten to the point where sometimes I don't have a track and I say, I'm sorry, I usually have a piece of literature, but let me ask you, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Or let me put it like this. If you stood before the gates of heaven and they ask you, why should we let you in? What would you say? All the externals are excluded from that. You got to give an answer. And you can find out where people are at. I say that some. I don't want to be offensive. I just want to understand where you're at. You know, you can't help people sometimes until you know where they're at. And when I went to the mission field originally, I was 3 months old in the Lord. He made me a different Christian. So, but then I learned that the mission field is the person next to you. We talked about sometimes, you know, we in traffic, the guy in front of you doesn't know how to drive. And you think, you know, the dummy. Another thing I learned is that's someone Jesus died for. Everybody that gives you problems or whatever, he's someone Jesus died for. So you have to curtail your concerns about his intelligence, you know. I mean, you were there once. And your testimony is, in Revelation, there's a verse, Revelation 12:11, how we overcome. We overcome him, meaning the devil, by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. You think, oh, I got so many troubles, I'm having this, doing. You want to overcome? Talk to somebody about the Lord. And sometimes they may be a Christian, but that's an important witness. Some Christians, you know, are kind of down. They need to have a testimony to tell somebody else the joy of the Lord. And no one can dispute your testimony. It's what you experienced. It belongs to you. And you, when I was younger in the Lord, they said, write your testimony down. That's a good exercise. Put it on paper. So if my neighbor one time asked me about my relationship with the Lord and stuff, and divine opportunity that I missed. He's gone now. Maybe that would have been my only opportunity, but I missed it. And your testimony is important. You know, we talk about stewardship. Oh, hold it, stewardship. I don't want to hear about that. Your time and your talent and your treasures, they all belong to God. But there's one more T, your testimony. God gave it to you to share. It's his testimony in your life. And that's our main, as a Christian, that's what we're about doing, sharing the Lamb, okay? Oh, I've again, I thank the Lord for the opportunity to go to the mission field. I don't know if I'll ever be able to go again, but I'm ready. And I'm ready because the mission field is the person next to me. You don't have to spend $1,500 to go to the mission field. There's plenty. Anybody know a lost person? They're right next to you, your neighbors and your acquaintances. And just, you know, if you have the heartfelt attitude and say, let me ask you a personal question. If you died tonight, where would you spend eternity? And I before they answer that, I say, and let me put it this way. If you stood before the gates of heaven and they ask you, why should we let you in? What would you say? Oh. Well, anyway, the mission trips are awesome. You know, they're next door, but on the foreign field, Lee and Heather took excellent care of us. Raymond talked about where we stayed. It was a Four Seasons Sheraton. We weren't roughing it. But I praise the Lord for Lee and his wife and his daughter. She just graduated from LFBI, Bible Institute. They gave her free tuition because she's on the mission field. And she has two beautiful little kids. I was playing catch with her little girl, a year and a half old. One, two, three. Boy, she's a smart little girl. Pray for Lee and his family in the mission field. And if you get the opportunity, go. But more important, go next door. Go to the person you're sitting next to. When the guy in front of you makes a stupid turn, he's someone Jesus died for. Pray for him. You know, we all need prayer. That's for sure. Thank you.
I love these guys, and I was praying that the church would be edified tonight, and I think you just were, weren't you? That was heartfelt, and I got to room with Don, and so him and I hung out a little more than Ray and I did, but it's funny because, I mean, we're both married to our wives, but I'm a little bit of a slob. I think I am. And so I told Dawn about halfway through the week, I said, well, Dawn, I hope I'm a good roommate or something. And he said, yeah, he said, just keep it up. So he kind of kept on me. But, anyway, we didn't have our wives there to take care of us. So, I will have you put up. I got a couple pictures of the Dominican. I think in about 10 minutes, the youth are going to come in. We're going to have our prayer time. So let me give my update. Pam's got some pictures of the map just so we can see where the Dominican is. And I wanted to just share. There's two. Okay. You can see the red dot. I don't know if you can read, but that is the capital, Santo Domingo. And that's where we flew into. And so Valiente is just a suburb of that. And so you can kind of see where we were. And Lee told us that Valiente is about 30 to 40,000 people. And so his vision is to, you know, continue to evangelize in Valiente. I don't remember how big Santo Domingo is, but you can see it's right on the Caribbean. So we drove along the ocean several times on our bus tours back and forth. And we did get to go to the beach one day, and a beautiful beach there. And so Ray told you a little bit about Lee's vision to reach the DR. So I wanted to show you a picture of our prayer team. Do you have the picture of Dave and Elizabeth and Shannon? So this is some of you know that I think we have about 10 different prayer teams in our church. And so when Lee was here, he really connected with Dave Branham, and his family. And so Dave had a heart to lead our Dominican Republic prayer team. So that picture is just from the office here. David would like to take his whole family to the DR, but, you know, that's costly, and so he wasn't able to go this time. But I wanted you to see at least who our leaders are. And so they meet once a month in the library. It's usually the third Sunday of each month. And so you'd be welcome just to come in after church and pray with us. Ray already mentioned a couple of the prayer requests that Lee had. And then put up the picture of Lee and I, if you would. I want you to at least see who we're talking about. Lee Carter is the missionary there with me, and that was on the at the airport on the on our way back to the U.S. And he was raised; his mother still lives in Belton, and he went to church some in Lee Summit. And that's how he knew the pastor from Green Valley. So I wanted you to at least see who we're talking about if you don't know Lee. His wife, I think, just flew to the U.S. to help care for her dad yesterday or today. And so Heather is coming to her dad lives around Independence area. And so anyway, so they're local, but their sending church is actually from Decatur, Alabama. He worked on staff in Decatur, Alabama, and so he is sent from that church, but we do help support him on a monthly basis. And I wanted to Lee told us many times, and these guys would tell you that, just how thankful he was that we were there. He wanted to thank our church, and he may be online right now. I'm not sure he was going to get online, but our church, our mission board set aside $1,000 to give to him for these bags of provision like Ray told you about. And then we did a fundraiser. We raised about $800 more. So I think the bags are $20 or $25 a piece for the food and the medical clinic. So these are out-of-pocket things that he, in fact, it was like the week before we went, he's like, Steve, this is answer to prayer. He said, I didn't know how we were going to pay for these. And so I wanted you to know that. And I'll make sure Brian knows as well that we couldn't have done what we've done this week without the tacos, the walking tacos. We raised $800, and the church mission board donated $1,000. I think it was surplus from 2024 that we had. So anyway, that was a big blessing. And, you know, it was so cool. One day we were there, and Lee told us, he said, you know, I don't make a lot of requests, he said, but he said, we've got this one speaker that we play our videos. They play it. They have a movie night, and they play on a TV screen. It's about a 40 inch. It's not huge, but they've got a big speaker that they play loud. He said, I'd really like to have two more speakers so I could, I think he's talked about doing it out of a vehicle out in the public or even putting it outdoors at the church outdoors. So he said, they're about $250 a piece. I'd like to get two more of them. And the missionary from, the pastor from Green Valley, when Lee said that, it was in his heart to give that. So while we were there, he told us, he said, if you guys want to contribute some, you can. So we collected about $100 between us, and the church in Green Valley did $400. So we bought him the speakers while we were there. So we got to present him to the church while we were there. So that was really cool, and he was just really thankful. So I wanted to at least communicate to you how thankful Leah is for our church and for our group coming. This is our second time down there. And I will tell you, Brian, our pastor, Brian Hedges, his vision would be to send a team there every year. So you heard these guys kind of promote this. It's about $1,700. It probably cost us $1,800 apiece. We bought our tickets a little later than the church in Green Valley did, because honestly, with about a month to go, I didn't know if it was just me going. I know Pam and some other people talked about going, and different things happened. So there were just a lot of, you know, additions and subtraction from our team. And so I'm really thankful these guys stepped up, and Ray even sacrificed a training deal at his job. And, you know, Don is 80 years old. That's pretty cool for him to go, and I don't mean that bad, Don, but I mean, would to God I could, you know, do that when I'm 80. So, one of the things that was good about the DR that, you know, it's a little bit more poverty than here and has a kind of a third world feel to it in places. I know it's got a lot of vacation destinations there, too. We didn't see that area. But one of the things I wanted to say that was complimentary, their country is very moral. And what I mean by that is I think they even had like a missionary come through there that bought some alcohol and they associated, you know, I thought you were a Christian. How are you buying alcohol? That's the mentality there. I want you to think about that. And, marijuana is still illegal there. Very little, nudity and, So those are just kind of outward indicators of, you know, kind of the mindset. And if you would put up the group pic, I think it was in the video, but this is our whole group that was there. And I would say there's a half a dozen or so from the church there. And so, even the Green Valley Church had a little bit of, they initially had 12 people going and then it was 10. And then one of the people, wanted to give, pay for another person going because they couldn't go after all. Then the other person didn't get their passport. So there ended up being 9 from there and of course 3 from us. And, you can see several of their church members. I don't know if you can see the shorter, older lady in the pink there. She's one that had eye trouble, and she rejected the gospel, but she said, what was it? She said, Ray, that something about after she gets her eye surgery, she wants to receive Christ or something. So anyway, she was there when we took that, but that's right outside their church, and so that is our team and some of our translators and some of the people from the church. We did have the most devotions each morning, so each of us kind of took turns. All three of us gave a devotion with the others, and then Don mentioned he gave his testimony at the baseball academy, so I had a picture of that with Emmanuel. This is his translator, and Emmanuel, if you put that up, he is hoping to come to the United States. And his fiance is, so that's at the baseball academy. And Don is sharing his own testimony there. And Emmanuel was one of the prominent translators. And him and his fiance are hoping to come to the United States. And so you may get to meet them in person. She's a doctor, and she's coming to the U.S. Separately, and so they're waiting till they're both in the U.S., I think, to get married for some paperwork reasons. Now, I want to give you just a couple of salvation stories that I had. I know Ray mentioned that. And, you know, you can't save anyone. I guess I thought, you know, people are going to be so receptive. So many people are going to get saved, over the week, there was about 30 or 40 that did, but that's with 12 of us, you know, 3 hours a day for at least 3 days there. And so, I remember just the first morning, you know, I'm just in a zone. We're going to do this. We had the best translator. Johnny was our translator. It was Ray and I, and we get this young girl. And I thought, she's going to get saved, and she's just come in the door, and we communed everything properly, and she said no. And it was surprising. Several people would just tell, no, I don't want to do that. And several of them would even say, you know, there's a particular sin in my life, and I know I'm going to have to give that up if I become a Christian. And even a 13-year-old girl told us that. It's like, she wants to travel, she wants to go party. And so I'm not ready to do that. So some people were there just to get the food, right? And so people are people. And so it wasn't, maybe as easy as you might think. Put up this picture of me and the older lady, if you would. One of the things I noted, too, that now this lady did receive Christ. And she did not have a Bible, and Ray worked it out with Bob the Hall. We took 21 New Testaments in Spanish, and Ray was so thankful for that too. But I was able to give her one, and Dawn thinks it maybe was a Catholic thing, but she kissed the Bible when we get it, and she's boo-hooing, and it was just really a sweet minute. I feel so bad I can't remember her name, but Juanita. I can't remember. And then show the younger lady there the next picture too, if you would, Pam. I can't remember this lady's name either, but these are some people that accepted Christ while we were there. I think there was about five people that we could remember that that the three of us helped lead to the Lord. And this lady is just a bright, pretty young lady. And then put up the next one. This is Junior. And you might have seen a picture of him and Don earlier. So this guy, Don got to share the gospel with him, and I could tell he was kind of on the fence, but he kind of said, no, I don't think I want to do that. And he's kind of fidgety, and I was able to give my testimony, like Don's saying, to share your own testimony. Somehow that connected with him, he was having trouble reading the literature, and I gave him my glasses. And so he could read the glasses, and he wanted to give them back. I said, no, you keep them. These are just reading glasses, you know. They're $4 or $5 or whatever. And I took two pair. And so, anyway, so he was thankful for that. He gets saved. And he came back the next day, and he told the guy that he'd been walking in front of the church. He knew he was there. He didn't want to come in. And even when he came in, he said no, he didn't want it, but he was contemplating suicide, is what he told one of our translators. And he ended up coming Friday night to our movie night. He came again Sunday morning, and even came Sunday night, and he brought his wife and his son. And one of the things he said is he felt like when I shared my testimony with him that God was speaking to him. And so I want to connect. We're about out of time, aren't we, guys? Are we going to wait till the other folks come in? I don't want to. Pam, is that how it normally goes? The young. Okay. And then I also connected with Saul. And if you put up the next one with this, this was the day we went to get some souvenirs. And so Johnny here is, the next slide, is Lee's son-in-law. He married Lee's daughter. He's the big guy on the left in the green. And then the guy in the purple on our right, that is Saul or Salos. And, he had been in jail and, kind of in a gang and dealing drugs. And, so he wants to be a trainer. He went on all our events with us. But his English is not good enough to translate. But anyway, he went door to door, and he was a big part of everything we did. So I wanted you to see Saul, and then the next one is John and I, and this is the one that Ray was calling Dominican John, and I really connected with him really well. He's about my age, but he was in the Haiti for 11 years, and now he stayed there even through a lot of oppositions, and he said he would leave if it endangered the church he was working with to stay there, and it got to the point where he was putting other people in harm by the white man being there. And so he is now working with Lee full-time, and he lives in the other side of the church, and so he's a big blessing. And we also had some young men at the church that Lee is discipling. Ray really connected with Austin and Justin and Luis. Austin and Justin are brothers, and their mother was in the group picture earlier. And and Luis, he helped us translate to the Haitians who speak Creole. So it was really weird to, I was trying to talk to someone and the Spanish guy translated it and then the Creole guy translated it to the Haitian person. And, so that was kind of different. So I think I'll stop there. I did learn many things. Lee, really taught us to focus, on Jesus and what he does. And that was from Philippians 4:8-9. And one of the things he said about Jesus' life, and he connected it really well with what we were doing, he says Jesus began his ministry by teaching, and then by preaching, and then by healing and doing miracles. And when that happened, he became famous. Then the multitudes came. And I like that because he connected it. You know, he's been teaching at church, and now his people are helping us share the gospel and preach. And as we're giving away these food things and bringing about some healing for their bodies with the food, they would tell others. And so people were coming because of the people we were helping. And so Christ was becoming famous in this area. And so that was really good to kind of see things. And I think I'll just end with these two thoughts is Lee's daughter, Bethany, she's been on the mission field now for 5 years. And she's probably 30 years old, I would guess. And she's got two children. And you know, she married a man from the Dominican. You saw Johnny. But she really gave a heartfelt testimony one night that she's never led anyone to Christ, and she struggled with that. She's been on the mission field for 5 years. She's been with these teams that are leading dozens of people to Christ, and she hasn't led anybody to the Lord. And God kind of ministered to her in such a way that she felt like by supporting her husband who's doing this, by supporting her dad, by raising these two children on a foreign field, she felt like God was, she had a peace about that. But it was so cool that, and she was crying. She said, you know, this week when we were in our groups, the Americans either went to the restroom or got a snack or drink, and she was left there with, and someone came in. She got to lead somebody to the Lord while we were there. And so it was just a hallelujah moment there. And so I really, anyway, it touched my heart for her to say those things. And so, but it's good to struggle with, have I led somebody to the Lord? Or when did I last lead someone to the Lord, isn't it? It's good to think about that. And so the last thing, I guess my takeaway, you know, it was frustrating that I couldn't speak Spanish. I couldn't understand what people were saying. But it made me feel like a hypocrite in the way that I live in America. Everyone I know speaks English, and I don't witness to them, right? But I'll spend a week of my time and all this money and energy to witness to people on a foreign field, and it's good to do that. But so, Don, you're convicting to me. He gives people tracts at the airport. And so, anyway, well, I will hold up there, and I'll have Chris maybe. There's 24 of these prayer cards, and there's about 12 of us. If you want to take two of these, each would be good.